Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Sherry Denham. And your phone calls today at 1-800-229-3000. We think it's a great day for new life.
I really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control. And my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord, and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and we are so glad that you're with us here today. And we're going to do something we never do. We're just going to go right to the calls, because I said we were going to get to everybody here. And let's go to D on line four. From San Fernando Valley, KKLA is the station. Hi, Dee. Welcome to New Life.
Hi. I have a 14-year-old son who's been struggling with his... Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. He's been struggling with his sexuality probably for a little over a year that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And anyway, I guess he thinks he's gay.
Okay.
We have an older daughter who is living that lifestyle.
Okay.
Right now, I didn't know. She didn't kind of give the symptoms or display the actions like how he is.
Right. Has he been kind of rejected by a lot of people in his earlier years?
Growing up, he went to private school, and all the kids called him gay when he was like in second grade, all the way up through sixth grade. And I told him, you know, sometimes that's a way of saying, like, it's a way of saying stupid, or, you know, you tease people, oh, that's gay, like that kind of stuff, and they use it in that kind of vernacular.
Yeah. All right, so how could we help you?
I just don't know how I should present this to him or broach the subject or talk to him about it. I know that he's one time he opened up to his dad and said, you know, I'm struggling or whatever, but his dad kind of just said, well, you know, everybody struggles, and, you know, you kind of, you know, the right way, so do that.
Well, you know.
I don't know what to do to help him.
Yeah. Did he have a good relationship with his dad?
Not really. His dad's pretty distant. That's just his personality. Yeah.
Well, you know, my opinion, having two gay brothers, my opinion is that the world would say the only way for him to be gay is to sexualize this, and that once he sexualizes this, well, he's right in there with all of the other folks that have struggled with it. But if you could communicate to him that there is actually a way to not sexualize these desires that he has, which are kind of natural given the rejection he's been through, and if you were willing for him to work through that and get some counseling, and maybe it's family counseling together, there can be some resolution to this in a way other than sexual behavior. Mylon and Sherry, what are your thoughts?
Well, Dee, I think a couple of thoughts. A lot of people adopt a lifestyle of same sex because it's a reaction. It's not just an inherent thing within themselves.
Yeah.
It's a reaction that's an emotional reaction, not a sexual orientation. So it's important to separate emotional reactivity from sexual orientation, because I don't, you know, a boy is a boy and is a girl is a girl. The genetics are X and Y chromosomes. But where the trouble comes is if there is a reaction toward a parent. There are a lot of men who walk into a gay lifestyle because they want to be close to another man.
Yeah.
There's a lot of men who become gay because they're reacting against a mother and they don't ever want to be with women. So I've seen both of these take place. So after we come back from the break, let's take some time to unpack that just a little bit and hear Sherry's thoughts.
Well, we'll do that right after this. Doesn't help that the dad said, well, you know the right thing to do. And
just do it.
You can do it. We'll take a break. We'll come back for some more of New Life Live.
Thank you. You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're really back now, finally. The audio's on there. And Dee is struggling, or her son is struggling with an issue of sexuality. Mylon, you were helping her understand this.
Well, I was saying, and even the fact that you have a gay daughter who, and you said your husband's personality is that he's distant. And I would suggest that there are some personalities that are quiet and more introverted than others, but distance, to be emotionally distant and withdrawn, is an injury and a wound. It's not a personality. So,
right.
You know,
so a comment like, you know the right thing to do, just do it, can feel very rejecting to a 14-year-old boy who's
right.
confused. He feels rejected, and he's been picked on all his life, and he's just trying to find a safe harbor in a man. And so I think both Steve and Mylon pointed you in some great directions. I would encourage you to have your son get into a good, strong, male Christian therapist. And I would encourage that strong male Christian therapist to work with your son and to also pull dad into some therapy, because there's some healing that needs to happen
yeah.
there. There's a father wound, and the father wound has impacted your daughter as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. My husband, you know, his dad left him when he was 10, and so he didn't have a father growing up. And that's no excuse. It's just kind of like he didn't have a foundation to build to be a good dad when he became a father.
Yeah.
So, his whole solution was just to kind of like, you know, I work 24 hours a day, and that should be enough. That's how he shows his love.
Right.
He doesn't understand emotional connection, and he doesn't understand the impact of a father who thinks it's enough just to go to work.
But there is a reason why, and I would be really interested in you helping your son figure out the reason why, since the second grade, kids have been calling him gay. Now, you know, is there something in his behavior and the way he dresses and the way he acts? Some people are more sensitive. Some people are more creative. Some people are more artistic. They don't fit into the jock stereotype, you know, the athletic guy. And so they can be erroneously stereotyped. Some of these people can be very sensitive people, but they're not gay because they're sensitive. They could be a creative type of an individual that is a composer, a conductor, a dancer, all kinds of things. But they're mislabeled, and so
and they start believing the thing that they've been told, because they're like, "Well, that must be who I am."
That's right. So part of the parent is to be a redefiner of life, and to be a person who helps to regulate the child. And as Steve loves to say all the time, to create a new reframing of what really are you, son. And that would be the second part of the healing process. Really, how has God made you, young man? And what are your talents, gifts, and abilities? And for some people, that sensitivity could be misconstrued as gay.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I just know that it upsets folks all over who are homosexual, but I really believe that the problem starts with a child being a little bit different, liking things a little bit different than other kids, and they begin to be rejected and labeled, and it's like it's a a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is definitely can be a very strong contributor to that.
And if you don't have a mom and a dad to normalize you,
right,
or celebrate you in some unique differences like you were calling out, then you start to reject yourself and, you know, believe what others say.
And the world very quickly wants to say, well, that means you're gay, and then brand you as such and embrace and welcome you into that lifestyle.
Yeah.
The world will want to do that.
That's right. All right, Dee.
So should I bring up anything about, like, when he goes on gay chat sites and things like that? Should I admonish him for that?
He's
seeking something. What's he seeking there?
You should be getting help for the entire family, and hopefully then that would diminish that. But let me send you Every Young Man's Battle. We talk about same-sex attraction.
Read that.
Oh, he has read that. Okay.
Well, and you have to, as a mom, too, think about who's on those gay chat sites. He's 14. Are there adult men on there?
Right.
You know, needs to be really monitored, because if we've got, he's a minor, right? And you've got him chatting with other older men, that's a problem right there.
Right. Okay, let's go to Armando from Warrenton, Virginia. WAVA is the station. Hello, Armando.
Hello. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Certainly. How can we help today?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm 37 years old. I don't have any children. I became born-again Christian, thank God, 3 years ago.
Okay.
And 2 months ago, I met this sister in Christ that I like a lot.
Okay.
I like her a lot. I like that.
And above all, her inner beauty, that's what I like the most. There's a little problem. She has 3 children, and she has her tubes tied. So my question is, should I pursue the relationship, or should I just stay away from her?
Well, no.
What would you suggest?
Okay, so her kids are how old?
She has 2 boys and a girl. The girl is 15 years old, and the boy is 13. And the little boy is 5 years old.
Okay.
And she has been divorced for about 5 years now.
And you think that the kids are a problem because of what?
I don't think the kids are a problem. My plan A and plan B, I always had told God that I want a woman with no children. And now that I've been talking to this sister in Christ, you know, I have a crush on her. I really like her.
Yeah. So hopefully, you're not trying to figure out whether to ask her to marry you. You're just looking at whether or not you're wasting your time and her time.
Right.
Because it's way too early to be thinking about whether or not you're going to marry this woman.
Well, I know there's a couple of steps before I get to that point, but now I'm so involved in the relationship. Whole relationship has grown so strong that I'm at that point where I wanted to ask her if she wants to be my girlfriend, at least for 12 months, and just go from there. But
so tell me about,
I'm very indecisive.
Do you like children that aren't from your loins, you could say? I mean, is that something that you would be attracted to? I was attracted to that. And my wife, she had 2 boys that I thought were amazing. And I was attracted to it.
I like her children, and I'm attracted to them. But I don't know if I want to
I think
3 children that are not mine.
That's what I sense. And I think you might be wasting your time and her time. You might resent those kids if you got married. You might not be able to form that bond that you have to have. It's even stronger with stepkids, really, to make it healthy.
Or you might even resent her for not being able to have your child.
Right.
Because with her, as lovely as she is and as much as you have an attraction to her, you're going to have to grieve unless there's some medical procedure that could be done, right? Tubes untied, and that's all risky. It's hard. There's no guarantee in that. You may have to really grieve the loss of having your own child with a wife.
Right.
And so there's a mixed bag, but you need to look that right into the face, because that is not going to change.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So the mixed bag is every relationship. I don't care who we pick, mm-hmm. there's going to be a mixed bag associated with that individual.
You're right.
There's going to be pluses and minuses, and so I've got to ask, is this the plus and minus I can accept?
Right.
But to marry somebody who has their tubes tied and realize I'm 37 years old, mm-hmm. which is kind of probably rushing him along in his mind, what should I do? And that I won't be able to have my own children is precisely what Sherry said. It's a loss that I have to give up. And you're right, too. If you love your boys. That I know about you, Steve. Yeah. You really enjoy them. And they enjoy you. You call them your bonus kids.
Right. So, you know, if you don't have that attitude, just because it's not in you, don't feel bad, but just don't hang on to the relationship.
Well, I think that's a good point. If you really know that that's a deal breaker right off the get-go and that I must have my own child, then it's not fair to hold this person on.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Let's go to Jason Martinkus. He is our lecturer, our grand poobah of every man's battle. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Steve.
And Jason, you've got a weekend coming up, an Every Man's Battle weekend coming up November the 11th. And tell us what happens in the weekend that would help a guy turn the corner from being on the path of destruction to starting that path of healing.
You know, a lot of guys that show up at the workshop, one of the things that they're looking for is hope. And a lot of guys, when they look down the path of destruction, all they can see is the things that they should stop doing. Well, if I don't do this anymore and I stop this bad behavior, then maybe my life will change.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that's powerful about the weekend is we help them see what they need to stop doing. But more than that, we help them see what's better on the other side of that and what they can start doing.
Right.
You know, we give them a picture, a glimpse of what life will look like when they're living out redemption, how God can use all of this junk and this tragedy and turn it to triumph in their lives. And
amen.
I think guys just, they grasp onto that.
Well, I think there's this this thing that guys end up doing, going from a good day to a bad day. I was a good boy, today I was a bad boy. Right, wrong, good, bad. And that consumes their whole life. Then they go to Every Man's Battle, and hey, it's not like that anymore. You're on a different path. You've got support and healing. It's that other side that you're talking about. Well, Jason, thank you for sharing that with us. It's November the 11th through the 13th, and it's not too late to come and be part of Every Man's Battle. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I'll tell you, he is saved so many marriages. It's
amazing, man. He and his wife. They are a story of redemption.
They really are. Let's talk to Catherine from Phoenix, Arizona. KPXQ is the station. Hi, Catherine.
Hi there. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How could we help you today?
Well, I have a question. We, my daughter, 15, and my husband and I have been at a church. We just joined about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
We were at another church before that for about 17 years, and our daughter sort of led us there through a youth group and a worship band that she got very connected with.
Okay.
And we enjoy it very much, and we enjoy our pastor. My question is this. We enjoy our pastor on a one-on-one basis, and we think he's spot on with the Bible. We enjoy many things about him. What our concern is that occasionally we will hear through the message little strands of judgmentalism or legalism. It strikes us, and personally, I don't take it personally because I'm able mm-hmm. to see it as it's about him, not about me.
Well, what's an example of his legalism?
Well, okay, and maybe it is. Maybe I'm using the wrong term. One example: my husband had to leave a little early to go to work, and he slipped out last week, and he says in front of the congregation, I guess
mm-hmm.
he had to go to work, and then he continued on with his message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know those guys. It's a personal affront to them to not have total control of their congregation.
Yes, and this has happened in several occasions of just facial expressions. In fact, we were up in front of the church being voted in as members, and we were standing up there with him. And he looked at us and said, "What's wrong?" in front of the congregation, and we said, "Well, nothing." And we asked him about that later, and he didn't really have a very good answer. But it was it sort of jarred us that he thought he saw something in our facial expression.
How old is he?
He's mid-40s.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, it's not legalism is the problem. I really think these guys are socially
insecure.
They're unaware, and they like control, and that's how they deal with their insecurity. is through control. And they want to believe that they're in control speaking. And when somebody gets up, they take it personally. They absolutely do.
We've been seeing it. And so I can kind of, I have seen it for what it is. And I see it as a maturity issue that, you know, a pastor is a human being and he can mature as well.
I think you need to, one thing you might want to do is meet with him and say, we love you. We're on your team. Got to tell you a couple of things. We want to always be there for you. And we've been in this other church 17 years, and here's something that we've noticed, and we don't want it to change our relationship with you because you're so amazing. But there's this one little thing that happens out there that we just think if you looked at it, it might change the way some people feel, because I think they might feel like us. I mean, that's one way to do it. The other way is just to grin and bear it because your daughter's having such a good time there with the singing and the music and all of that. We'll take a break and come back for more of New Life Live right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. Let's go to our phones here and talk with Tracy from Hoffman. Wait, hold on. It's Tracy from Hoffman Estates, Illinois. WYLL is the station. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you? What's going
Good.
On?
Good. Well, I'm calling because I have a question about, well, my husband, he wants me to be more affectionate with him,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not a touchy-feely person, never have been, and he just really craves this attention, and I fear I'm not able to give it to him.
Okay.
And I just don't know what to do because he's constantly asking me for it, and I can't deliver. Part of the problem is that, like I said, I've never been a touchy-feely person.
Yeah.
Second part of the problem is I'm not... that attracted to him, like it kind of grosses me out to have to do like the things he wants me to, like give him back rubs and stuff like that, and it kind of grosses me out.
Okay, Mile and Sherry, we've got an intensive care case here.
How long you been married, Tracy?
9 years.
9 years. Any kids?
Yes.
How many?
Four.
You have four kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as I hear you talk about not being a touchy-feely person, and it kind of grosses you out to think mm-hmm. about giving him a back rub.
Yeah.
How far back have you felt uncomfortable with touch?
Since I was little. I do like to give hugs. Mm-hmm. I do like to hug a lot people, but I don't know. Other than that,
did you grow up in a family where there was touching and feeling and, touchy-feely stuff happening?
Yeah, I got lots of love. My family hugs and kisses when they see each other.
Has anything ever happened to you where you've been touched inappropriately?
No, never has. I don't understand, where it comes from, but...
Because it almost sounds repulsive. It's like your skin crawls a little bit if you think about doing it. Is that right?
It does.
Yeah.
And I've tried to force myself in the past, but it only lasts a week or so that I keep it up. And when I do, he says that I'm robotic and that he could tell I'm being foolish.
Because touch is sometimes, there may be something back there. I don't know, just something for you to think about, maybe going and talking with someone, because when it comes to repulsion, it's almost a reaction against something that's kind of more natural. So that would be something that I would encourage you to explore with a therapist, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing I'm wondering about is intimacy, how close you let people come to you.
Not very, only close.
Yeah, because sometimes if we have a fear of intimacy, a fear of letting people know us and get really close, or that we get really close to them emotionally, if we have that fear, sometimes we use touch or the lack thereof is kind of a stiff arm against not having to let somebody get near us. Mm-hmm. So with your husband, if you have a fear of intimacy, if you're getting close, the physical would be kind of a way to cut that off, right? So it keeps him in a longing place. He's trying to connect with you because, he's trying to connect through touch. He wants to get to your emotional heart.
Yeah.
But you're guarding your emotional heart and not letting him touch you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think a lot of it, too, is I kind of feel bad as a person because I know a lot of it is superficial. As far as he's gained a lot of weight over the years, he's got some medical issues and stuff like that, and I think a lot of it is superficial.
Well, you guys are going to have to get reconnected, don't you think?
Does he sexualize all touch? In other words, if you do touch him, does he think that that's going to be a sexual advance or turn it into sex?
No, he just wants that because he never got it from his own mother, so he craves that, and I feel kind of bad for him because he married the wrong person
Right. Some people are more expressive, responsive than others. You're absolutely right. Some people don't touch as much. You can spot them in church. There's people that are giving back rubs, and there's people that are just sitting there taking it.
Yeah.
So he has this craving. Mm-hmm. But my question to you is, but you're also saying that he's gained weight and he's less attractive to you now.
Yeah.
And so it's not fun to touch him because he's less attractive? Is that what you said?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. And that's of concern.
Mm-hmm.
Does he know that that's a part of the thing?
I tell him, but I don't know. He still expects it, which of course he should. I don't know how to get over it.
We have a bigger problem than her repulsion of giving back rubs. They're disconnected. They need
There's
to get
intimacy
help together.
Issues going on here, dear one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys gone to anyone for help?
No, actually, we have a great friendship. We communicate. We tell each other everything. We're best friends. It's just when it comes to that, it's a big problem.
Honey, you know what? Your marriage is a setup for an affair. Or for
yes,
pornography
that's
or
what
for
I'm
something.
Worried about.
I'm glad you're worried about it. Because really, when you said he picked the wrong person, he picked the right person. He picked you. Mm-hmm. But you guys, these are all the warning signs that says you guys are in trouble.
Yeah.
You need to get in and to see a good marital counselor that does attachment therapy. Mylan and Kay's book, How We Love. They do holding therapy actually in the session. I do that with clients in my couples. Mm-hmm. And it is a very bonding, attaching type of treatment. That's the kind of therapy you need with your husband.
I'm going to send her How We Love.
Good.
Hope that will be help. I hope you could get to one of Mylan and Kay's workshops. They do them all over the country. and that could help. But if not, I mean, getting in with a counselor and getting some help together to pull this back together. We'll be back right after this.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Veronica from Thornton, California. KRKX is the station. Hello, Veronica.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing well.
How could we help you today?
Well, I am in need of insight and direction on an ongoing journey.
Okay.
My daughter, when she was sexually molested several times when she was young, but I did not know anything about it until she was like 12 years old.
Who molested her?
A cousin of mine and her grandfather on my husband's side.
Wow.
And then later on, person that we used to go clean his house, he sexually molested her. I didn't find this out till later on.
Wow.
One of the things is when I sort of kind of felt, I didn't know anything about sexual molestation. So when she was around, I remember this very vividly, when she was like five or six years old, she was sitting outside on the porch. And her grandfather was near her, and I felt something. I don't know how to explain it except just a feeling. And I went out there, and I looked, and I called her inside, and I told her, was your grandfather doing anything to you? And I sort of kind of asked her in a scared, I guess, mad way. And she said no. And I said, are you sure? I said, because I thought I saw something. I thought I saw him touching you. Mm. And she's like, no, Mom. No. So I left it at that. But I always had this feeling down deep inside that something had gone wrong with her. However, she's now 28 years old, but about 3 years ago she got cancer. And when she went through surgery and all that kind of stuff, she started kind of finally sat down and told me everything that had happened. And it was just overwhelming for me. But sort of kind of understood how she felt or why she did.
How could we help you now?
the question is this. When we realized that she had this, like, attachment-detachment sort of kind of thing, and she developed friends of the same sex, and it wasn't until, I guess, she had a friend from church, and that we were called into the office and by her parents and the pastor that something was going on with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At the time, I had learned a little bit more about this kind of stuff because I was looking into her and
okay.
all that.
All right, so she had she has a same-sex attraction. She's now 27. Mm-hmm. Does she live in her own apartment? She live with you?
Well, right now she just came back to live with us, and that's where the question is, because I don't know how to react when she brings a friend around.
Uh-huh. Okay, so is that the question?
Yes. What do I need to do? Because lately the friend that she's bringing along is another church friend. Her mom died a couple of years ago, but okay. I noticed that my daughter has this overwhelmingly, she wants to protect her, she wants to take care of her, she wants to,
okay.
you know, she's in need of love,
yeah.
and that's what she sees.
All right. Okay, Mylan, Sherry, you guys have any advice for her how to deal with this daughter who, boy, has really been through?
Well, are you sure that there's a sexual involvement with these two people, or is this just a girlfriend from the church?
The first one did get sexualized, and
she told you that? She told you that, yes. Veronica? Okay.
Okay, and what about this one?
This one, no.
Okay.
She says no.
Okay, so then what is your concern about her having a friend come over to the house who's just a friend?
My concern is, I guess, the way it makes I have two other boys, and the way she, like, wants to protect her, and she wants, like, for example, she'll ask for one of my boys' trucks once in a while to let her friend borrow it, or she'll... her friend's family borrow it.
Okay, now tell me what you're worried about with your other two. You started down you're worried about the other boys because of why?
Yeah, because they know about her history. They know
right.
about the other girl
okay.
and how everything
so
got sexualized.
What are you worried about?
There's been other girls along the way.
What are you worried about?
The fact that she brings her around the house and they're like, we don't want this to happen the same way that it's always happened, Mom. We're tired of that.
Okay.
We're tired that that she uses she uses us because she wants to protect.
Your sons want you to help implement some boundaries, irregardless of who she brings home or whatever. They don't want to be used.
Yes.
Okay, so you sit down and with them and you develop what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. You give them a little coaching there and see if they're too rigid or too strict. And you try to come up with something that you can go to your daughter with and say, you know, these are some things we're going to have to implement. You can't borrow their truck. They feel bad if they don't let you. So that's not an option. Things like that.
Right. So we did that.
Okay.
And it seems like... we did the boundaries. We did all that kind of stuff. One of the boundaries was the friend of hers was not allowed to come spend the night.
Right, and that's perfectly. I mean, you're entitled. Even if it was a man versus a woman, you wouldn't want them to come spend the night, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Right.
And so when this happened, her friend had surgery last week. And so her family wasn't around to help her out, which she only has a dad and a brother.
Yeah.
And so my daughter brings her back to the house, and she didn't ask if she could spend the night, but sort of kind of just threw out there that.
Okay.
Did
she spend the night?
I'm sorry?
Did she spend the night?
Did.
Well, you didn't enforce this boundary that you have, this rule and regulation that you have.
And I
Mylan.
Understand that. My question
Mylan.
Is...
Yeah, your question is what?
My question is, should I have seen that this girl needed help at the time, or should I have just strictly stay to that boundary.
Well, look, you know, Veronica, what's missing in this whole equation is you said that 3 years ago your daughter confessed to you everything that went on when she was having surgery, and you were astounded at her history and the things you didn't know. And at five and six, the daughter was protecting her grandfather, and she already learned what this concept of protection is all about. And the fact that she's protecting an adult right now and trying to compensate and caretake is not a surprise. What's really missing is a family sitting down with a trained professional to talk through the tremendous emotional pain, the loneliness, the sadness, of the and the anger of a little girl who had nobody that really understood what she was going through at the time. And when we go back and we can redeem those moments by going back and giving a person an opportunity, because it can free them from some of these enabling behaviors that they find themselves adopting seemingly on autopilot. And that is what we want to help them understand. So you can choose to set boundaries and react to the day-by-day lifestyle issues, or you can back up and say, time out. Let's, as a family, do something we've never done before. Let's all go as a family, especially mom and dad and the daughter, not necessarily the boys, especially mom and dad and the daughter. Let's sit down with a Dr. Sherry or somebody and talk through this history that's been so wounding. Sherry, Steve, what would you
I
add
think
to
that's,
that?
No, that's really the way to go here. That's okay. Doing much more. Yeah.
Your daughter has untreated trauma. She's a trauma. Okay. She's a trauma survivor, and she's, I would say, with all that she's been through, I would even probably say she's got post-traumatic stress disorder. She's got layered trauma, and she needs to have some help for that. She's gone untreated for a long time.
In the meantime, is it okay to just keep the boundary?
Did you hear what I just said, darling?
Yes.
Veronica, I am like so... I said that, and you go right to the boundaries. I want you to hear that. Your daughter has not been treated for her heart.
Okay.
There's a deeper issue here. Boundaries are really important, but her heart is in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that needs to be addressed now.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was talking about that boundary stuff, I really missed the heart issue here. So that's really more important. We'll take a break and come right back for more of New Life Live.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction.
That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We were talking about the issue at the break there, and Mylon brought up the fact that, you know, when you're suspicious of a grandfather and a five-year-old, you need to go talk to the grandfather.
Well, the five-year-old's going to feel the anxiety and the anger of the parent, and that's going to scare them,
right?
And they don't really know. But it's curious. A lot of times we will ask the child what happened, but really what we need to do is take the other person, the adult, and say, what just happened there? I know something happened. And you grill them, because the five-year-old can't take a grilling, but the adult needs to be asked what just happened back there.
Yeah.
So.
All right, our final caller, and we did get to everybody who had been holding from the other programs, is Jamie from Peoria, Illinois. Jamie, welcome to New Life.
Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
I have a question. Can you tell me, can smoking marijuana trigger schizophrenia or bipolar?
Why do you ask?
We have a 28-year-old son that the last week in July started exhibiting very, very, very bizarre behavior. And we found out that he had been smoking quite a bit of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
And the behaviors are similar to someone that has bipolar or schizophrenia.
Okay. Do you think he just is like this pristine person that would only smoke marijuana, that he doesn't do anything, use anything else, it's just marijuana?
No, he has a history of alcohol
addiction. All right.
We've thought, all of our family has thought, that possibly he's doing other drugs, and we have tried the best we can to figure this out.
Why don't you figure out how to get him into treatment?
We got him to go to the hospital Saturday. He agreed that he would go to show everybody that he's not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor, whoever interviewed him there, the therapist, said that there is a psychosis. He wrote down there is some psychosis, but they couldn't keep him. He wouldn't stay.
Uh-huh.
And now he is. That was our last chance, our best chance to get him help, and they couldn't keep him.
Where does he live?
We live around Peoria, Illinois.
Does he live with you?
No, he lives on his own.
Lives on his own.
How old is he?
28.
Well, let me say this. To answer your direct question is yes. Marijuana affects two parts of your brain primarily. It affects all the brain, but I have seen brains under the influence of marijuana under a SPECT scan, and it attacks, it kills the blood cells in the prefrontal cortex, which is the boss of the brain. It's the front one-third part of your brain, which is where we make good decisions. We have forethought, planning. It's also the brakes of our brain. It's the part of our brain that helps us think through when to stop and has to do with impulse control issues, all right? So it shuts that part of the brain down. The other part of the brain that's impacted severely by it are the temporal lobes, and those are like little cheeks underneath the brain. That, you will see mood disorders. You will also see paranoia. You will see hallucinating. You will see things that will that'll kind of have the schizophrenia type feeling to it. And it's
marijuana can produce that behavior.
Correct.
It doesn't necessarily mean that he has schizophrenia.
Correct. It can. You can have a drug-induced reaction, mental illness that has to do with cannabis or, you know, some type of a drug like marijuana. And so it impacts the brain. It can actually, it's doing a lot of damage to his brain.
So was there he thought he was crazy, or to prove to people that he was or wasn't crazy, was there, as Sherry said, was there paranoia, fear?
There has been extreme paranoia.
Okay.
He thinks that we're all plotting against him, that people are listening to his phone, so he puts everything in code.
Right.
Right.
people are watching him everywhere. That is extreme paranoia. And also, he told his sister one day that a Learjet flew over his house, and he was pretty sure it was probably Donald Trump going to bring money to help. He July 30th, he got on that he was setting up a foundation and a park for his son, and all these people were going to do all these grand
things.
Well,
you have a psychotic son, no matter what the source is. And
he needs treatment. He needs to get in.
How do we get him?
Well,
he won't go anywhere.
Well,
they won't keep him against his will.
Is he threatening to hurt himself?
Nope. We have talked to police. We've talked to a lawyer. He has not threatened to hurt himself.
How
or anyone
is he
else.
Surviving on his own? How is he paying for his own room and board?
At this point, we're not really sure.
Okay, so he's living on the street, or he's living with friends?
No, he has an apartment. He has a house that he rents.
Okay. And so he's carrying a job?
At this point, he does not have a job. He has lost his license on a DUI in the spring, and a girlfriend moved in with him, and she was helping him. And then she moved out, like, the third week in July, and the following week is when we start seeing all this.
All right. Well, we're out of time. So what do you think she should do?
Well, he could be dealing drugs, too.
Well,
you know, a lot of times when people are heavy users, they deal, and that's how they make their money. But
that's the possibility.
Yes, it certainly is. Well, you ultimately have to reach a person. Oftentimes, if they don't want any help, there's nothing you can do for a 28-year-old that does not want help. But you need to do your research, have your ducks in a row, and find out where he could go if he gets to the point where he says, I'm scared, or I want to hurt myself, or I'm suicidal, or I'm homicidal. And you have to know what you're going to do at that point in time and get him to the help that he needs.
Yeah.
So you need to know where you're going to go as soon as you get a phone call or see that. What will your intervention be? And you have a precise plan in place. And if he, at this point, doesn't want to, there's nothing you can do about that.
That's really true.
Because sometimes a hospital, just a standard hospital, may not hold him, right? They may send him out. But if you're in a drug, psychiatric role, drug and treatment center, there's a whole different paradigm there. And they will understand this kind of behavior.
All right. Well, we're out of time. And I wish we could be more help, but in some situations, there is nothing you can do. They're older, they're out, they're on their own, and they're not threatening the lives of others or themselves.
And there's many people who want to say marijuana is harmless, okay?
Yeah, they just don't.
And
it's
I'm sorry, I don't buy that. It's not true. It's not true medically, but people do say that.
Mm-hmm. And we've got a DOI already on this kid.
Out of 10 people that say it's harmless use it. Okay, this week we have 5 tips for loving your unlovable teenager. You really need more than 5 if your teenager's unlovable, but that's what we're going to give you. If you call us, we'll send it to you free. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And don't forget, Lose It for Life is coming up. It's a great program to help you lose the weight and lose the whatever it is underneath the weight that caused you to gain it in the first place. We need your financial support. We would love to have it here. If there's any way you can help us, please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you're interested in doing some mission work in the fields of drug addiction and alcoholism and people with connection problems and attachment problems, you can be a missionary by supporting this ministry, and we'll go do the work for you. We'll take on the task of dealing with them, because that's what God's called us to do, and we love it. We just need some support. So if you can help us, be one of the 4 people that joined Club New Life today. We need 4 every day to achieve our goal of this year, 1,000 new Club New Life members. That's where we're headed. So help us if you can with a one-time gift. Be a regular giver. Join Club New Life. However you can help us, please do. You are the only way that we get to stay on the air is through your support. My thanks to Dr. Sherry Denham. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mylon Yurkovich. Thank you, Mylon.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And to all of you, you know, there's a great resource. We've said it many times, How We Love. It's there, right there at newlife.com. You can get it. Also, Walking Into Walls and so many other things there. Go to the website, newlife.com, and maybe there's something that will help you. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.